Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the NLL Weekly Preview. My name is Rocco Granato, and now for about the next hour, we'll talk NLL across the games that are on the slate tonight, or should I say the game that is on the slate tonight, and I will go over and recap last night's unbelievable ending and thriller of a game up in Minnesota at the Hive, where the Minnesota Swarm and the Rochester Nighthawks faced off in NLL action. But first, let's go into some of the big news that has happened just recently, no more than, I would say, about 24 hours ago. 14-year NLL player Lewis Ratcliffe announced his retirement from the National Lacrosse League. A lot of people are saying this is coming on the heels of him being benched last week in order to give players such as Corey Small and Johnny Palace a little more, I guess you could say, ball handling out on the floor. But we don't, know the full story on all of that. We just know that Lewis Ratcliffe decided to step away from the game at this moment in time as he announced his retirement. He, as I said, he played in 14 seasons. He finishes with 1,040 points, which includes 472 goals and 568 assists, and that's in 212 combined regular and playoff games. This is coming right off of NLL.com. He does have one Champions Cup under his belt. That was back in 2010 when he was playing with... He has two of them under his belt. He has the one with the Calgary Roughnecks and one with the Stealth. Back in 2010, he was the Champions Cup MVP, scoring five goals with one assist in the finals when they defeated Toronto 15-11. The British Columbia native also ranks 7th in the NLL all-time with 440 career goals, 10th all-time in career assists with 520, 8th all-time in points with 959, and 4th in consecutive games played with 196. He only reached the 50-goal plateau once in his career, and he scored a record high, or I should say career high, 104 points in 2007. That was 50 goals and 54 assists. He was drafted in the fourth round, 49th overall, by the Calgary Roughnecks back in 2001. We know that a lot of these players have... I guess I should say outside interests. They have their regular jobs or regular businesses. Lewis has that. He runs his own company, family man. So, a lot of, things really have to, go into a player that wants to, step away from the game. 14 years, you look at it and it's like, a long time. It really is. 14 years in a game that it's played the way it is. You hear people say it's a combination of football, basketball, hockey, kind of all rolled up into one. And the pounding that these players take on a weekly basis, especially players like Lewis Ratcliffe, it does take a toll on your body. There's no two ways about that. It's going to be very taxing on your body, and at some point in time, you just have to say, I don't have it in me anymore. I can't perform the way I want to perform, or I may feel that I'm holding the team back. So that's why, in this case, Lewis decided to step away from the game, announce his retirement. as I said, a lot of fans out there were, you know, they figure if you, players do something like that, maybe they would wait till the end of the year. But I guess with the acquisition of Corey Small a few weeks ago, Johnny Powell is coming over in that trade during, just, you know, prior to the draft, coming from Rochester. They're the ones that are going to be filling in the shoes of Lewis Ratcliffe. Undoubtedly, he will be missed. He was a leader in that locker room, a leader on the floor. Him and Reese Dutch out there together, it was, would just be a combination. When they were on fire, forget it. There was no stopping them. They would, you know, control the game. But you know, as I said, we wish Lewis all the best in his endeavors. And who knows? Maybe it may be temporary. You never know. He may, you know, just, you know, he's announcing his retirement right now. I don't know what the full proceedings would be, but you may see him come back. You never know. I mean, leaving partway through the season kind of leaves a little bit of an emptiness. If it was me, I wouldn't want to step away halfway through. But as I said, some players may feel that may be the time. Now you look at players, excuse me, of the caliber of a Johnny Tavares, who is on the IR now between 3 to 10 weeks. He's been playing since day one with the Buffalo Bandits, 24 plus years. Could this be the end of his career? Could this be his last season? You know, we don't know. We know that JT has changed the way he plays the game. He's mainly a guy that comes out the front door on the offense once the ball comes into the zone. And that, you know, that's really, he's like an on and off type of guy at times. I mean, if he gets, I don't want to say the word stuck or caught out there on the transition part of the game where the ball's coming back up the floor or anything, he does hustle back. He does play the defense, but his main role now is mainly to get the ball coming off the bench, go to the net, pass it around a few times, and do what he's done all his whole career. Put the ball in the back of the net. So we don't know what's, you know, happening there. I mean, for a player of Johnny Tavares, as the years have gone on in the last few years, he's been getting hurt on and off. Last year, he missed a couple games. This year now, he's in that 3 to 10 week span. And right now, the Bandits are at 2-2. I'm sorry, they're 3-3 right now, and they have a game tonight against the Calgary Roughnecks, which is what we'll be getting into next, you know, after this. So, you know, you really don't know what's, you know, going to happen with, you know, Johnny Tavares. You know, when he comes back, I guess he's going to see how he is, how he's feeling, and make, you know, a decision that way. Tavares doesn't strike me as a type of player that would just retire during the midway point of the season. It would have to be an injury that doctors would say, look, don't even think about going back out there. It's, you know, if you go out there, you get hurt again, it may take even longer for you to recover. I mean, from what I'm hearing, it's a calf injury. It's a really bad calf injury to keep you out anywhere from 3 to 10 weeks, and especially playing at the caliber that Johnny Tavares plays. So hopefully he will be back in action within that time frame, and see what, you know, what Johnny Tavares has left in that gas tank is. But again, just the other day, Lewis Ratcliffe retired, not even 24 hours, just about 24 hours ago. Lewis Ratcliffe announced his retirement from the NLL and the Vancouver Stealth. Now, on to today and last night's action. There was one game last night, and there's only one game tonight. Last night, you had the Minnesota Swarm facing off against the Rochester Nighthawks. And in that game, it was, I guess you could say, offensive struggle or a defensive battle. At points in the game, it seemed to me that both teams were kind of forcing shots at times. And that's mainly, I believe, from the defenses playing so well, where the teams are just trying to get the shots off before the 30-second shot clock went off. The whole game, it was up and back. The first quarter ended 2-1. The Minnesota Swarm opened up with a 2-0 lead at the 3:51 mark. Shane Jackson took a pass from Miles Thompson, put a past Matt Vince, the other assist going to Jordan McIntosh. And then at the 8-minute mark, rookie Miles Thompson put the Swarm up 2-0 with the assist going to Shane Jackson. But with about 43 seconds to go in that first quarter, assistant captain Cody Jameson got the Rochester Nighthawks on the board on the power play with Shane Jackson in the box for an illegal cross check. And that brought the score within 2-1. At that point, you're thinking, okay, this is going to be a battle. It's going to be 60 minutes going up and back. It'll be a huge battle. Second quarter was all Minnesota, or I should say it was all Logan Shush. Logan Shush scored a natural hat trick. It was his only 3 goals of the game. They all came in the second quarter. His first one came at the 2:44 mark off a pass from Andrew Suter. Then at 11:46 with the assist going to Alex Krepnicek. And then at 14:58 with just under 2 seconds, I believe it was like 1.4 to go somewhere in that area, he put one behind Matt Vince with the assist going to Miles Thompson and Jordan McIntosh. That was on the power play. Just as the power play was about ready to expire, Stephen Keough was in the box for a roughing minor at 12:59. So with Logan scoring at 14:58, it was with a second to spare for that to be a power play goal. So Minnesota goes into the locker room with a 5-1 halftime lead, and the crowd was it was a huge crowd at the Hive. The announced attendance was 9,645, which was, it's been a while since we've seen numbers that big for Minnesota for one of their home games. But 9,645 fans came out. First 5,000 got cowbells, so you had cowbells going off in the Hive. A very loud crowd, from what I've heard from friends that I have in Minnesota, and also friends that have gone to Minnesota and experienced watching a game at the Hive. But as we stepped into the third quarter, the game turned around. It's like the second and third quarter just flip-flopped. The second quarter, Rochester, okay, Minnesota, you do what you want to do. Third quarter is going to be ours. We're going to do what we want to do. Rochester came out and scored the next 5 goals. Joe Walters got his goal of the game at 2:56. Dangerous Dan Dawson scored one at 3:17, just 21 seconds later, to cut the lead to 5-3. And Cody Jameson at 10:26 and Craig Point at 11:32, which tied the game at 5. So we're almost through 3/4 of the game, and you've only had a total of 10 goals scored. Then at 13:58, Dan Dawson scored again. That was the last goal of the third quarter to give Rochester their 6-5 lead. That would be their last lead of the game, and that would be the last time they would find the back of the net on Zach Higgins. At 8:56 of the fourth, the only goal that was scored was by Andrew Suter. That tied the game at 6. For the next 6 minutes after that, it was a constant battle, up and back, superb defense, unbelievable goaltending by both Zach Higgins and Matt Vince. It was a classic defensive game. Plenty of opportunities by both teams. Defenses were there. The ball would get picked up. The defenders would be right there on top of it, either knocking it out of your stick, knocking the stick out of your hands, whatever you may have. It was a game that if you missed it, you want to go to Universal Sports. You want to watch the replay of it. You really would. If you like to see a good defensive game, this was what you. This is the game you wanted to see. Both teams were 2-2. Somebody was coming out at 2-3. As they started the overtime, Rochester won the faceoff, called their timeout to set up, figuring they were going to get this one chance, and this is what they want to do. This is what teams do in the NLL. You win the faceoff in overtime, you quick call timeout. I believe you get two in the overtime. One or two. I know you at least get one. I believe you might even get two in the overtime. You want to set up a play because that could be the only chance you're going to get. Didn't work out. And after that point, after that first 30 seconds, 30, 35 seconds there, Minnesota controlled the next 2 minutes. Close to the next 2 minutes. Next minute 46, we'll say, by the time all the face-offs happened and whatnot. They got second and third and fourth opportunities out there during the overtime. Callum Crawford scored his only goal of the game. There was a loose ball. He knocked the ball out of Paul Dawson's stick, basically knocked the stick out of his hands. It looked like he knocked the stick out of his hands. Some reports are saying that Crawford had a hold of Dawson's stick and he threw it, or Dawson threw it. Not sure how that came, but you just saw Dawson's stick come out of his grip. Cam Crawford just took a step into the middle, fired a shot past Matt Vince for the game winner. And the assist went to Logan Shush. So Logan Shush ended up with 4 points. NLL.com puts the three stars as Calvin Crawford, Logan Shush, and Zach Higgins. I kind of would reverse that. I would put it as Logan being the first star of the game with the 3 goals and 1 assist. Second and third, you could flip-flop. Yes, you can give it to Callum, who had 8 loose balls and the game-winning goal. But you could also give the second star to Zach Higgins, who played phenomenal in net, stopping 34 of 40 shots that he faced in just over 62 minutes of play. So you can go, you know, kind of either way on that, you know, however you want to say it. But a lot of times they always give the first star to the player who scored the game-winning goal. Deserving of it, yes. But my opinion, I would go the other way. I would go Logan, then Callum, and then the third star, I would put a combination of Matt Vince and Zach Higgins, because Matt played phenomenal as well, stopping 42 of 49. I mean, when you figure, well, how can you give it, you know, also give it to the losing goaltender? The loose balls is what made the difference in this game. Both teams went 1-for-3 on the power play, but Minnesota picked up 86 loose balls to Rochester's 60. They picked up an extra 26 loose balls. And that's where the difference lies. Dylan Evans on Rochester picked up 10. He was the only player in double figures for loose balls. After that, you had Brad Self with 9. And then from that point, you drop down to players with 5, which would be Mike Kirk and Scott Campbell. Other than that, yeah, Dan Dawson with 4, and then Paul Dawson, Jordan Hall, Sid Smith, Cody Jameson, players like that with only 3 loose balls. You go to the Minnesota side. Everything that was on the ground, they were picking up. Alex Krepnicek, 10 loose balls. Logan Shush, upper on offense with 3 goals and assists, 10 loose balls. Jordan McIntosh, 13 loose balls. Shane Jackson, Ethan O'Connor, both with 6 loose balls. Corbin Tao, Mitch Belisle with 7 and 8 respectively. Callum Crawford had 4 loose balls. Miles Thompson had 5. So you had a lot of players that really played big in this game with a minimum of four and up. And when you have three players in double figures on loose balls, it's going to make a huge difference, especially if one of them is last year's rookie of the year, Logan Schoesch, and one of the big offensive players. So those 26 extra loose balls, as I've said before, and I'll say it over and over again, that leads to either 26 more opportunities for your team or 26 less opportunities for your opponent. So that means that Rochester is getting just some one-and-dones and that's it. Or Minnesota is getting second, third, fourth, etc. opportunities on Matt Vince. Either way, the loose balls play a big, big factor in the game. At the end of the game, I'm looking at the box score, and Paul Dawson was hit with a 2-minute unsportsmanlike conduct, a 10-minute misconduct, and a game misconduct. All that after Callum Crawford scored the game-winning goal. That's why I'm wondering if Paul didn't just throw his stick, or maybe he was complaining to the official that Callum had a hold of his stick and he tossed it, he pulled it out of his hand somehow prior to when he took the shot. So don't know what happened. I have to wait more for more press releases to come out to see why this happened and what kind of disciplinary action will be taken as far as, because I think this is only Paul's first game misconduct, but don't know what has happened. Whenever you see something like this at the very end of the game, you always have to question it and see what's, you know, really going to happen. But like I said, Paul Dawson was a 2-minute unsportsmanlike, a 10-minute misconduct, and a game misconduct at the very end. So again, Minnesota defeats Rochester 7-6 in overtime last night at the Hive. In, as I said, if you missed the game on UniversalSports.com, as I've looked on social media, some people, for some reason, couldn't get the feed on their computers, what have you. I didn't have any problem getting the feed, but go back, watch the replay. It was a classic defensive game. Very well played. I mean, each team had three power plays. That was really it. There was, you know, nothing really, you know, major going on. There was, you know, a hold, a couple cross checks, your typical roughings, a couple coincidental roughs there. But other than that, it was a regular hard-hitting defensive game. Again, the attendance was 9,645. Final score again, Minnesota 7, Rochester 6. Minnesota moves to 3-2. Rochester's two-game winning streak is over, drops them back down to 2-3. Now, tonight on NLL Live, Buffalo shuffles their way into Calgary to try to continue Calgary's losing streak. The Calgary Roughnecks are sitting at 0-4 right now. Obviously, the head coach, Kurt Malosky, is on the hot seat, some people are thinking. Some are wondering, do they have to make some kind of change? Are they going to try to work out some kind of a trade? What are they going to do? It seems ever since, you know, Scott Ranger, you know, retirement, the team's not clicking for some reason. They're picking up moral victories, but moral victories don't count in the standings. The team, I mean, they're playing well. They lost a couple in overtime, a couple one-goal games. But they're only scoring 49 goals a game. They're letting up 63. So it's almost like a 16-12 comparison that they're getting outscored each in each of their games so far. They are right now 3 games out of first place, 1.5 games out of third behind Vancouver. So they need to get back on a roll. They really need to get, they need to get on a roll. And it needs to start this week. They're at home. They're facing Buffalo. As I said earlier, they don't have Johnny Tavares, but Buffalo has Jerome Thompson, who came into that lineup and played phenomenal last week. They had 2 games last week, and he really stepped it up and played very well. So you don't know what's going to happen there. But like I said, Scott Ranger announced his retirement at the beginning of the season, and it just seems like there's just a piece missing there. Sean Evans is still doing his part, 13 goals, 19 assists, but then you got a 14-point drop. Then there's Curtis Dixon, 11 goals, 7 assists, and Dane Dobby with 10 goals and 5 assists for 15 points. And you have Jeff Shatler, 7-6 for 13. They're your double-digit point totals for the Calgary Roughnecks, but you only have Evans, Dixon, and Doby in double figures with goals, and the highest one is 13. Four games into the season, 13 goals. Dixon, who was a big goal scorer last year, with only 11, and same thing with Dane Dobby, with only having 10. Their goaltending is like a seesaw. You don't know if what's going to happen with Mike Poulin, who's right now sporting a 17.22 goals against and a 62.3 save percentage, or Frank Siciliano, if he's going to start. He started last week, played very well, even though they lost in the final 2 minutes to Toronto, 13-12. They played, he played very well in that game. So you don't know what's going to happen. Is he going to get the start? Get the start again this week against Buffalo? Is Mike Poulin going to get the start? Or you don't know what's truly going to happen there with this game. The score is 12-11, not 13-12. But we can recap some of the games once we go through. It's going to be another battle. These are two teams that, when they get frustrated, when they fall behind, if they're battling to try to get back in the game, or if the game gets out of hand, there's a lot of fuses on that team, a lot of short fuses that can be lit by just one little spark. Everybody knows you got Jeff Snyder. You got Sean Evans, who can drop the gloves. On Buffalo, you got Steve Perella, who can drop them. Anybody, David Brock. You got a lot of guys on both teams that you could say would be walking time bombs if the game gets out of hand, or there's a lot of chippiness that goes on. So this could be a highly volatile game, as far as it could be a big penalty game. This could go either way. Buffalo's at 3-3. This is their 7th game of the season right now. So undoubtedly they want to go into this game and win this one and come out 4-3 and put even Calgary even further back in the hole. Earlier in the week, Calgary put out their new jerseys, their third jersey, their alternate jersey. Personally, I think it was a bad time for them to come out. A lot of fans started saying, the heck with showing the alternate jersey, show us a win. We'd rather see a win than see the alternate jersey. I kind of agree with them. I think they should worry about getting wins, putting wins in the win column, than worrying about their alternate jersey. This should have been something that could have came out in the beginning of the season to show that jersey, or after a win. Maybe they're going to wear that jersey tonight. Maybe it's going to do something. I don't know. we'll have to, you know, really see, you know, what happens. But they revealed their alternate jersey. It looks nice, all black with the silver in there and whatnot. But me personally, I think it was a bad time for it to come out, seeing their 0-4 right now, and should more worry about, I guess, a win than putting out that third jersey. Now, other games last week that were played last Saturday. As I said, Toronto beat Calgary 12-11. Josh Anderson scoring the game winner with just under 2 minutes to go in that game. Buffalo and Rochester. Buffalo came back from a 10-4 halftime deficit, scored the next 7 goals, took an 11-10 lead on Rochester, which it chased Matt Vince out of the net after the game was tied at 10. Agnes Goodleaf came in, spelled relief for Rochester as Rochester scored the final 7 goals of the game and beat Buffalo 17-11. Agnes Goodleaf got the win, obviously. Dan Dawson, 11 assists, 2 shy of Mark Steenhouse's record of 13 in a game. Joe Walters had a career night last week with 5 goals and 2 assists, the most goals he's ever scored in the National Lacrosse League game. That put Rochester back at 2-2 with that. It was a huge win over Buffalo, 17-11. Vancouver went ahead and put a beating on Colorado. It was kind of revenge. Without Lewis Ratcliffe in the lineup, Corey Small, Johnny Palace got more touches, but it was the Palace-McCready connection that came over from Rochester in that trade that did the damage. Johnny Palace notched 4 goals in that game, and the Vancouver fans started to see why they got Johnny Palace. You give him the rock, give him the ball, the kid can do magic with it. Okay, he's only 21 years old. He'll be 22 next month in March. He'll turn 22. The kid can work wonders. It's just a matter of him getting the ball and being able to perform his magic, we'll say. People on the East Coast, I've seen him do it in Rochester. Not only, obviously, on the TV or online or what have you, but in person. The kid is just magical. When he turns it on, forget it. There's nothing stopping him. And having Joel McCready alongside of him, it just even makes it even more dangerous. So the 3 games last week on Saturday, Vancouver topped Colorado, give Colorado their first loss of the year, 16-13. Rochester defeated Buffalo 17-11. Toronto over Calgary 12-11. And then the 2 games on Friday, last Friday, Buffalo defeated Minnesota 15-12, and Edmonton doubled up New England 18-9. Now, as I said, there was only 1 game on the slate for tonight. There was 1 last night, 1 tonight, and that's it. 2 games for Week 6 in the NLL. Next week, Valentine weekend, we have games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The ESPN3 or ESPN Go or whatever, you know, go to ESPN.com, go there. They have 2 games that they'll be showing. Universal Sports has 1, but NLL Live has 4 games. 4 out of the 7 games are going to be on NLL Live. So if you don't have the package, you're going to be missing some games. Okay? And I'll run down the games right now. On Universal Sports, Friday night, 8:30. Toronto is at Minnesota. Toronto Rock visit the Hive. This is the first game in a home-and-home series between the two teams. Also on Friday night, Edmonton is at Colorado at 9 p.m. That's on ESPN. So you have a half hour between each game when they start. This is where you can do a split screen on your computer. And if you have it on a wide screen, do it right there. You have 1 game on one part of the screen, 1 game on the other, if you set it up right. So you have Edmonton at Colorado at 9 p.m. on ESPN. Toronto at Minnesota at 8:30. All these times are Eastern. Then on Saturday, the back end of the home and home. Minnesota now travels to Toronto for a 7 p.m. game. That is on NLL Live at 7:30. Rochester shuffles up to Buffalo for a 7:30 p.m. start for a rematch of last week's game. Again, you could probably expect the same thing. The First Niagara Center is going to be rocking as it usually does when these two teams get together. It's really going to even bring the volume up more in that arena. That's at 7:30 p.m. Then at 10 p.m., you got Calgary going to Vancouver. We know what happened the last time these two teams faced. Vancouver went into Calgary, beat them 18-14, pulled a huge upset. Calgary will obviously be looking for revenge. They may be 1-4 time. They may be 0-5 going into this game. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see how tonight pans out. So Calgary at Vancouver, it's 10 p.m. Eastern. Then you go to Sunday. Colorado will now be at Edmonton. That's at 4 p.m. on NLL Live. Colorado will travel to Edmonton. That's the other end of that home-and-home series. And then Rochester goes to New England to play the Black Wolves. That's at 6 p.m. on the Watch ESPN app. Also, all these games that I just mentioned will also be seen up in Canada on TSN.ca. So you're going to have Rochester at New England, 6 p.m. on Sunday, February 15th. Two things about this game. One, it's going to be the attendance numbers. Their first three home games, the attendance started out good, 5,700 down to 4,000. Then went down to just over 3,000 plus in their third game. Now you have a game at 6 p.m. on a Sunday night. I don't know what the distance is between the arena and the next town, but I've heard some say as much as 50 miles away. I don't know. I don't live there. I don't know how far it is. But 6 p.m. on a Sunday, you're not going to get, I don't think, a lot of traveling people to really go there. So I'm curious to see what the attendance is going to be in that game. But also, this is a rematch from the last time these two teams played back on January 10th, where New England put basically a butt whooping on the Rochester Nighthawks 17-7. And as I said, I think that game was more of a statement there because, as we know in the past, prior to this team moving from Philadelphia, Rochester would always, somehow they had the number of this organization and they would put a whooping on them. No two ways about it. They've taken behind the woodshed and just put it to them. And I think that's what New England did. New England wanted to make a statement that they were here, they're for real, and this is how they're going to play. And they took every opportunity. If the opportunity was there for them to score, they took it. They just weren't going to kill the 30 seconds. They had a breakaway. They were going to go in, shoot, and if they scored, they scored. They weren't going to pull it back and let the time wind down. That's what the game is. Tempers flared in that game, obviously, after the game was well in hand. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens in that Rochester-New England game next Sunday. Colorado and Edmonton, both these teams are playing very well. A lot is going to pan out next week. Colorado's 3-1, Edmonton's 2-2. Edmonton's a game back. Edmonton wins both these games. Edmonton can easily go a game up in first place. Edmonton loses both of these games, and Colorado puts, I don't want to say a major separation, but they put separation between them. They will shoot to a three-game lead over Edmonton, and depending on what Vancouver and Calgary does, If Vancouver would lose, it would put them 2.5 back. And or if Calgary would lose, if Vancouver win, they stay 1.5 out. And Calgary can almost be as much as 5.5 or 6 games out after next week. Should things go the way it could go. Should Colorado sweep Edmonton, or, you know, they lose. And like I said, it's going to be a big jumble going on next week with 7 games. Toronto and Minnesota, they play twice. Toronto's 4-1, Minnesota 3-2. That's also for first place. Toronto can go 3 games up because they're a game up on Minnesota now. Or they can flip-flop. Minnesota could be a game up in first place after next weekend. New England playing Rochester. 2-2 against 2-3. Obviously, Rochester wants to do what they can do with their record. They have 2 games next weekend. They play Buffalo, and then they play New England. So Rochester could end up 4-3, or they can end up 2-5, or 3-4. So anything can happen there. New England could shoot to 3-2 with a win. Buffalo playing once. At that point, they still have to play tonight, so they're 3-3, so their record can, you know, fluctuate there as well. So next week is a really huge game, huge weekend in the NLL. It's only week 7, and you're already looking at a possibility of Colorado wins both games, that they can be 3 games up and giving themselves some separation in the West over Edmonton. And like I said, depending on what Vancouver and Calgary does, that's where that's going to go. So it's going to be very interesting next week. I'll go over it again. Friday, February 13th, Toronto at Minnesota, 8:30 p.m., universalsports.com. 9 p.m. on Friday, Edmonton's at Colorado on ESPN. Then the next 4 games, all the games on Saturday, Minnesota at Toronto at 7 p.m., Rochester at Buffalo at 7:30 p.m. Again, another split screen for everybody. Then at 10 p.m., Calgary at Vancouver. All those are on NLL Live. That package for $30 where you get to see all the games, that's what it's on. So obviously, I think you're only going to be able to see one game. You can't do a split screen for that. So you have to decide which game do you want to see, or maybe you could do both. I don't think you can, because I think it only allows you to log into to one of them, which is kind of crazy. There should be a way that you can watch both of them. Then, like I said, you have Calgary at Vancouver. That's on NLL Live at 10 p.m. Sunday, February 15th at 4 p.m., you have Colorado at Edmonton. And then on ESPN, the Watch ESPN app, Rochester's at New England for a 6 p.m. start on Sunday. And again, all these can be seen on tsn.ca up north of the border, where our friends up in Canada. So that's what we have for next week. Toronto, Minnesota, and Edmonton, and Colorado, you don't know where that's going to go. Minnesota's starting to play very well. Toronto's playing very well. There's been talk that this could be the weekend that Garrett Billings returns. Not really sure. If it is, Toronto's playing well already. Adding Garrett Billings in the lineup can even make it even stronger for the Toronto Rock. Minnesota has to find a way to combat that. We won't know until we hear more. Edmonton and Colorado, that's going to be a huge, huge game. You got Ben McIntosh, who won Rookie of the Month for the month of January. He's playing very well. Mark Matthews is playing very well. Aaron Bold is on his game. Kyle Rubish. Just the whole Brett Minsky. Just everything from top to bottom on Edmonton is starting to click now. So you're looking at that battle. That's a battle for first place, as well as the Toronto-Minnesota game. Those 2 games, if Minnesota and Edmonton win their games, you could have a tie for first place in both the East and the West. And Minnesota could be looking as a front runner, gaining a lot of speed. ever since Logan Shush came back into the lineup, this is how it's been with them. So like I said, the action's getting hot and heavy in the NLL. Next week, full slate of 7 games. And week 14 is really the biggest. We're going to have 8 games that week. But this is the biggest week of the year right now coming up. Valentine weekend, the 13th, Friday the 13th through Sunday, February 15th. But Saturday and Sunday games, we'll review them next week and go over the Friday night games as we do every week here on InLacrosseWeTrust.com when I do the recording for the podcast. like I said, that's how it's going to be for next week. The one game this week is Buffalo at Calgary. Calgary needs this win very, very desperately. They are in a big hole right now. They're sitting at 0-4. They need this win. Some people are saying that if they don't win, you could possibly see Kurt Malosky maybe being shown the door, or I don't know. Don't know. But something needs to give. It's just a matter of everything clicking. As I said before, they're getting these moral victories, but moral victories are not going to do it. You really need to start putting wins in that win column. And it starts with the goaltending. You got to get solidified back there in between the pipes. Poulin or Siciliano? Who's going to be the one? Siciliano came in last week, started the game, played very well. Took the loss in the 12-11 defeat, but he kept the team in it. Mike Poulin has struggled this year. 17-plus goals against average. Maybe last week was his week off, and who knows? Maybe that's what he just needed that week. He recharged himself. And, you know, can take it from there. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens tonight in that game. It should be a very interesting game tonight. Now, when we look at some of the things that have been going on, I'll go through the standings right now. Then I'll go through the power rankings how I had them ranked for last week, as well as the 3 stars. Out in the West, Colorado's at 3-1, Edmonton is at 2-2, Vancouver sits at 2-3, and Calgary is at 0-4 going into this week. In the East, we just had the one game last night, which was Minnesota and Rochester, so this is the standings show that. Toronto is now 4-1. Minnesota sits at 3-2, one game out. Buffalo is at 3-3. New England is at 2-2, both a game and a half out of first place. And Rochester is now 2-3, two games out of first place. Still enough time to move up the standing ladder and get first place, get into that playoff position. But like I said, wins have to start coming for certain teams, and Calgary is one of them. They're 3 games out. They're sitting at 0-4. Something has to give. Now, when we look at the power rankings for this past week, going into last week, Colorado was the number 1 team as far as the power ranking. It flipped this weekend. Last weekend. Toronto took over the number 1 spot in the power rankings for week 5 with a 4-1 record. As I say, with their 12-11 win over the Roughnecks, it gave them the number 1 spot. Colorado Mammoth fell 16-13 to Vancouver, dropping them down to number 2 in the power rankings. Drew Westerveld in that game had 3 goals and 3 assists. But the big story here was John Grant and Adam Jones. They just combined for 1 goal and 9 assists between the two of them. You say 9 assists between two guys, yeah, it's great. But just 1 goal between Grant Jr. and Adam Jones. And Adam Jones got that goal. The Buffalo Bandits, they split their weekend matchups. So they dropped, they moved up from 5-3 with a 3-3 record. They're third overall. Edmonton Rush, they went 18-9. They move up from 8-4 as their record is now 2-2. The Minnesota Swarm just dropped a spot from 4-5 after their 15-12 loss to Buffalo. And their record is, two and two. Now they're 3-2 after their win last night. Rochester Nighthawks moved up from 7-6 last week. New England Black Wolves dropped from 4-7 after getting doubled up 18-9 by the Edmonton Rush. Vancouver South stayed at number 8, even though they defeated Colorado 16-13. Their record is 2-3. And then, obviously, the Calgary Roughnecks at 0-4. They are number 9. They are in the last position for the power rankings for Week 5. Obviously, with only a couple games this week, Week 6, so there's going to be a little bit of a movement. Minnesota will probably jump up a spot. Rochester will probably stay where they are at the 6, at 2-3. Big games will be next week. And then depending on what Buffalo does, a Buffalo win, I don't think it'll move them up any. So I think that the top 3 will stay the same. Minnesota will probably jump to 4. They'll flip-flop with Edmonton. Edmonton will drop down to 5, even though they're idle. Rochester will probably stay right there at 6. New England will stay at 7. Vancouver at 8. And I don't think it matters whether Calgary wins or loses. They're going to be at number 9 with either an 0-5 or 1-4 record. So that's where the power rankings are for going into this past weekend's games here. Well, that's going to just about do it. I battled through a cold last week. I have the remnants just hanging around a bit, but I'm able to get through the whole entire show this time. Join me next week for another NLL weekly preview show. We'll recap the one game tonight. We'll recap the two games that are played on next Friday the 13th. And preview the whole slate of what's going on and where things are going with the NLL. Maybe we'll have an update on Johnny Tavares' injury. Maybe we'll know more about the Lewis Ratcliffe situation as far as his retirement. Don't know if there will be more information. It's just something I think he needed to do. He wanted to step away, and that's how it is. We'll also see if Calgary loses this game, if any changes are made, if anybody is, being sat down, if any trades are being talked about, if certain veterans may just be released or dropped down to a practice squad or put on some kind of a holdout list just to give other players a chance. When you sit at 0-5, if you sit at 0-5, are you just going to see what you have and prepare for next season, or do you try to go on a run and maybe do something? But something needs to be done in Calgary. It needs to start tonight. Like I said, they got the bandits coming in. You got Dane Smith. You got Mark Steenhouse. You got Ryan Benesch. You got a full load there in Buffalo. Steve Perillo, who could play defense as well. He could score as well. David Brock on the transition and defense. Anthony Cosmo between the pipes. It's going to be tough for Calgary. I think their time is now to win. I think they're due for a win. I think they're going to get it tonight. That's who I picked to win. I also picked Rochester to win last night. But this is why we play the games. You just don't go by what's on paper. I think Calgary's going to win tonight in front of their home crowd. They know they're in dire straits. So I'm looking for Calgary to win tonight. It's going to be a close game. I think Calgary's going to win this game 13-11. They'll get their first win. And they're going to slowly build on that game. So until next week. My name's Rocco Granato. I thank you for listening to the NLL Weekly Preview Show. If you have any questions, want to know any kind of information or whatever, you want us to try to get certain guests, you hit me up on Twitter at Wings Fanatic, and also on Facebook, Wings Fanatic 107. Send me a question. Ask if we can get certain players. If you want certain questions asked to those players, we'll either try to get them on the show or try to email them or try to get in touch with them some way, shape, or form and have your questions answered. So again, my name is Rocco Granato. Thank you for tuning into the show, and I'll talk to you all again next week.